episode 293, How to Change Your Life.
It's the David Triggs Show. This is the podcast where you can get spiritual power and personal development for everyday life. It's gozo for the whole family, Jamba Juice for the soul, your daily dose of gozo.
Well, again, everybody, and welcome to the daily podcast, the daily edition of the Trick Podcast of Joey and Gozo TV, right here with my Gozo bell, my Gozo mug right here, my Gozo sombrero, my Gozo hat is also here. By the way, if you would like to get a hold of all this Gozo merchandise, just go to davidtrigg.com/shop, and you can pick up your favorite Gozo, what do they call that? Gozo swag. Talking today about how to change your life. How to change your life. I think all of us are constantly in this pursuit of wanting to change our lives, our circumstances, wanting to be different, wanting to see our lives move in a positive direction. Maybe the summer hasn't been all sunshine and roses for you. Maybe it's been a time of struggle. Maybe it's been an amazing summer and you're looking forward to more. But you know that there are some things that need to change in you. It might be the people closest to you that you wish they would change. But let me just tell you one thing up front. You will never see the change of God in the lives of others until you allow the change of Jesus to be in you. You will never, let me say that again. You will never see and experience the kind of change that you want to see in others until you allow the Holy Spirit to begin to change you. You say amen to that. That is just exactly how God works. And I want to give you a few verses and examples of the change that is happening in me. I think it was yesterday or maybe the day before, someone came up to me and said, "Trigg, how have you been changing lately? Or what has changed in you?" And I kind of knew what this person was talking about. I think they were talking about my preaching or perhaps my prayers or that kind of thing. And it got me thinking about what has changed. And all I could really say to her is, you know, all I can tell you is Jesus. Jesus. I can tell you about this and that and all the things that I've been thinking about or practicing, whatever. But at the end of the day, it really comes down to a hunger for God, a hunger for more of Jesus. And that's the change that is beginning to happen in me. And let me just say something right up front. Just because you've been around the things of God for 30, 40 years like I've been, it doesn't mean that you're done changing. Isn't that good news? Just because you've been in a difficult spot the last few days or weeks or years, it doesn't mean that change can't come to your door today, right here, right now, in Jesus' name. Because we serve a living God. He lives today. Every day is Easter for the child of God. Every day is Easter. Now, I do believe that change happens in mysterious ways. Just like wanting to suddenly go vegan or work out every day or move to another part of the country or change jobs or even, I don't know, just drive differently. How do those things happen? It's a mystery, right? But sometimes there are triggers or maybe those divine moments that tend to bring us into that reality. And for me, there have been a few events that I can point to in the last few years that began the process. And I want to share these with you so that you can begin to think about the events in your life that have been signals of the change that is to come, of the power of the Holy Spirit in you to do something new in your life. Because remember what the Bible says, is that the mercies of God are what? They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. That's Lamentations chapter 3. So, a few months ago, I don't even know what exactly I was doing, but I got a phone call about a friend of mine who was in the hospital. And I must be honest, one of the things that God has been changing me, or I've been praying for, is to care for the sick more, or to go to the hospital, to do, I hate calling it, hospital visits. That sounds so clerical or whatever, especially if you're a minister. But I had been praying for just simply for more love, especially for the sick. And so In the last year, I've been going to nursing homes more. Just a few months ago, I went with my dear brother to go and pray for people that were sick. And then we ended up at this other lady's house, or hospital room. And God blessed us there. And she began to speak great truths of God and love. And then, when I got this phone call, I was ready. Now, I must say that even though I was ready in obedience, I had no clue how long this would take. I had a full day of meetings and of preparation and of this and that. And I thought, well, Lord, I will just go and see what you want me to do. And let me even tell you one more thing. This is maybe ironic. I don't get along exactly very well with this family. You know what I'm talking about? You know how there are those families or those people that you just don't maybe see eye to eye on things, right? And so this is one of those families. But even through that, the Holy Spirit said, go. This wasn't some pastoral duty or any. It was just love. It just, the Holy Spirit got there, and it was worse than I thought. There was a lot of need in the room. And there was no one there ministering gospel truth and healing and hope to this person. And I want to keep, obviously, all of this as neutral as possible. So I'll get through this story fairly quickly, because this story is not, or the who and what is not the point. There's a greater point that I want to tell you about. Long story short, I was there till about 4 p.m. I got there like at 6, 7. I was there all day. Literally at this person's bedside, at her feet, ministering, being a father, being just a presence of God. The whole family was ministered to, as you can imagine. And you may think, well, come on, that's what pastors do. Remember what I said at the beginning. I had been asking God to change me in that. And let me just say one last thing. I don't like hospitals. I don't like people that are sick. I have a trauma with that because of my own grandmother who passed away, obviously, in a hospital. My own father who dealt with illness, same thing, hospitals. My grandfather, hospitals. It's almost like in my DNA to either be in the hospital or, in my case, not want to go to the hospital. And yet God has been wanting to minister to me. And so there I was, spent a whole day. And even to this week, I continue to be present in this person's life through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I tell you all that because that's how God changed me. That's how God is changing me, is through these moments where I'm confronted with my selfishness. I ask God for help, and then He, of course, puts you in places and circumstances to test your prayer. And by the grace of God, He's been faithful. And there's a lot of positive things happening in that person's life since that day. Second story, another moment that changed my life. 2 weeks ago or so, I went to a prayer meeting with some local pastors. I go every month. But this time was different. We were going to meet at a church that I had never been to. We go to different churches every month. And I had been really struggling with what's wrong with my church. You know, as pastors, you I'm sure you know this, we're constantly in prayer and in devotion with God, struggling, wrestling with God about, Lord, what do you want me and our church to do? What is your will? What's your spirit saying? And so I felt in turmoil that morning, but I wanted to go. So I got out of the car, and I stepped on the parking lot. I mean, this sounds very simple, but I stepped out of the car, put my foot on the parking lot, just on the asphalt, and I immediately felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. It was unbelievable. And one word came to mind. Out of all the words that could have come to my mind, one word, I wasn't even thinking of this word, came to my mind, and that word was peace. And the Holy Spirit in that moment said, that's what you don't have in your church. There is no peace. And there's no peace in your heart, meaning in my heart. But I want to give you peace. Look at what I can do if you surrender and if your church seeks my face in prayer. And, I guess, sidebar, you stand against the powers of darkness that are in your church. And you pray for my spirit to come. And so since then, I've been praying and we've been experiencing new manifestations of the Holy Ghost, mostly in my life, in my wife's life. We're praying for our kids to do the same, and we're hearing the voice of God in a new way. Change is happening. And I tell you those two stories because my guess, goes about right here, is that you also have experienced things like that, are going through experiences like these days, or you long for experiences such as these. You also want the peace of God in your life. You also want to love the sick or love your neighbor or love your family, love your husband, love your wife, love your friends in a more deep way, not from your mind, not from training, not because of duty, and not giving up on those people. Not giving up because they're against you or they don't like you or because your ex did something wrong or because your mom or your dad aren't for you or because of past experiences. The grace of God is greater than any of our sins or the sins of others. And change happens by the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of God who at a time, in His timing, brings about these experiences, challenges your perception, your views, your mind, your all those things that we want to control in our lives, and He begins to work. And let me tell you one last thing. It's not epic. It's not always epic things that the Holy Spirit will do. I have a friend, she was telling me that after I spoke and she was being convicted of the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit in her life, that what she wanted to do was just simply to stop flipping people off while she drove. So it wasn't loving my neighbors. It wasn't moving, you know, going on a mission trip. It was just simply not being so angry with her hands as she drove and people made her mad. I mean, who cannot relate to that? All of us. I do the same thing. When she was telling me the story, I thought, maybe I should do the same. And I tell you that because change by the Holy Spirit doesn't have to be epic. It could be. But sometimes, often, it's in the simple things that really mean the most to you. Now, there are things that get in the way of the prophetic, of the truth of God taking root in your life. The Bible is clear that even though the seed goes out, there are some hearts that are hardened. There are some hearts that let that stuff die. There are some hearts that grow and everything looks good in the beginning, but then the worries and the anxieties of this earth take them away. And let me just say this. If you are like me and you think you're God's gift to this earth, can you say no, Goso? You might think that you're the perfect soil. Let me just tell you this thing. I don't know a lot of people that are the perfect soil. You probably are not the perfect soil. You're probably 1 through 5. You're probably a combination of all. Maybe you're more 3 than 5 or more 2 than 4. I know that my heart, even though I long for Jesus, gets distracted. So what are the things in my life, and maybe this can be an example to you, that get me off track from the love of Jesus? Well, it's simple. Distractions. I want the admiration of other people. Success, fame, wanting more. Anxiety, fear, shame, protecting myself from negative people instead of confronting sin. Satanic people come against me like they come against you. So some of these things that get us off track aren't all things that you're doing wrong. None of these things are things you're doing wrong. In fact, they are things that the Holy Spirit brings up. Satan will condemn you, but remember, in Christ, Romans 8 says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So Satan will condemn you, but God won't. He'll convict you. He'll want to change your heart. He'll want to remind you that He is your King, your Father, your Mother, your Savior, your Redeemer. The blood of Christ covers all of our sins. But the things that distract us often come from within or from outside circumstances. So you have to get clear on what is distracting you from the love of God. What is distracting you from the change that you long for? And so God has been changing me. Instead of seeing people as sources of admiration or like, oh, I hope this person thinks I'm amazing. Instead, God is teaching me to see people as my sons and daughters. Instead of me judging someone who comes to my office and tells me their whole life story, and I think, man, you're messed up. I sure don't want to be like you. I hope my kids don't grow up to be like you. Instead, God is giving me a deeper conviction to call these individuals my sons and my daughters, spiritual sons and daughters, and to see everyone, very Lutheran here, as sinners and saints, as both sinners and saints, but to remind myself and most of all them that in the power of the Holy Spirit, they are saints and they are children of God, if they know Jesus. And if they don't, then make sure that they know that that's available to them right there and then, that they can become children of God through the blood of Jesus and his redeeming work. So I want to take you to a passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 that is so beautiful, where Paul speaks about how he changed, what happened in his life in order to see people especially in such a different way. And maybe that is your cross to bear. Maybe you, this is true of me, and maybe this is true of you. Maybe your need or the area in where you need change is in how you view others. So look at how Paul sees others. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17, "But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short while, in person, not in spirit," not beautiful, "were all the more eager with great desire to see your face. For we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, more than once, and yet Satan hindered us. For who is our hope or joy or crown or exaltation? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. Therefore, when we could endure it no longer, we thought it best to be left behind at Athens alone, and we sent Timothy, our brother, and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith." There's so much there, but basically, Paul is saying, you are my crown of glory. You are my success. You are my greatest miracle in my life. It's the people that I get to serve and love. You know, we live in, obviously, in the U.S. and the West, and I read a lot about the Enneagram and personality types and all these things. I'm a psych kind of freak. Psychology freak. I'm also a little psycho, perhaps. And they say that the U.S. is an Enneagram 3 type, which means basically that we love to achieve and win and be number one, right? I mean, make America great again. How achieving is that? Imagine if we were to say, make America the servant of all. Doesn't quite ring as much, does it? You probably wouldn't wear that red hat, would you? And yet we're very Enneagram 3. And so now someone was saying that we have fallen off of that. And I think it's true that we've become this negative place. And I believe that that is true. That's the demonic influence that's over our country is hate. I think it started after 9/11 is my sense. I remember, this is a sidebar here, but I remember on 9/11, I wasn't discerning it just as terrorism or as obviously the horrible tragedy of nearly 5,000 people dying in one day. That was obviously tragic. But what I perceived in my spirit was that was the beginning of hate. If you remember all that happened on that day and since that day, it's all been about hate. I mean, I could go into that, and I probably should do a whole episode on just the beginning. The day America died was that day. The day that our country became a place of fear and hate was 9/11. And we haven't been able to recover since then. We're still living in that hate. It's still happening to this day until revival breaks by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus come. Jesus come in revival. So all that to say is that there are things that distract us from the power of love. And so you might be living in fear and in hate. And so when Paul says here that what he sees as his glory, as his achievement, is people, it really convicts me. Because if you're like me, you think that your goal in life is to achieve more. How many of us love the word more, right? You want to eat more, earn more, make more, do more, love more. Well, hopefully you want to love more. We all want more. Is that just me? It's our addiction. More followers, more likes, more people to follow you, more spins if you're into music, if you're a writer like me. Whereas God's way here through Paul is that our glory is the people that we serve, the people that we love. It's going to the hospital, it's going and praying with other pastors. It's being with people, it's serving. And let me just say, this is not just for ministers of the good news. It's not just for me. Because guess what? You too are a minister of the gospel. You've been anointed into the church the minute that you were baptized. Meaning that you were saved. And if you haven't been baptized in water, you need to do that. Because that is your manifestation, your public declaration that you are here to serve the master. So all of us are ministers. All of us are meant to love and to have our glory not be the things of this earth, but to have our glory be the kids that you love, the young men that you disciple, the adults that you build into, the people in your life that you serve and love on a daily basis, whether they are in the church, outside the church, whether they are at work, wherever they are, the homeless person that you see in the corner, whatever that conviction is that you have, your glory is not your job, is the people that you love, the people that you serve, regardless of accolade or glory or anyone tooting your horn. In fact, look at what Paul even says, that he wasn't even able to go to love these people that he loved so much in Thessalonica. That instead he had to send, and this was his loss, right? He was grieving this. He had to send someone else, Timothy. And he, of course, trusted Timothy with his life. But the point is that sometimes our love is so deep that we are called to even let somebody else do it for us or instead of us. But the love has to be there. Love more people. What is God calling you to do? Love more people. Love more deeply. To speak the word of God into other people's lives, to invite them to worship, to be the worship to people, to text them or Facebook message them or to Snapchat them or Instagram them or call them if you still do that and actually minister to people. You don't need me. You don't need a YouTube video. You can minister to people in the power of the Holy Spirit. How? Just simply read them Romans 1. You don't understand half of it? Guess what? Neither do most pastors, because these are mysteries of God's mind. How do we understand half of this? The Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit for love, for revelation. Sing with someone. You don't know how to sing? Send them a YouTube video. Post on Facebook messages of love. Post on Instagram instead of your latest, I don't know, vacation or your latest workout, all great things. Post about the grace of Jesus. Because guess what? People need that as much as going on hikes, which I need more of that. So thank you for those who hike. God is calling you to love more people, to love others more deeply. That's what will change your life, is love for people. Love for people at work, your own family, your friends. Who do you need to love more deeply this day? You want to change your life? You want to accomplish more, have more, earn more, help more, have your kids be happier, have your car be newer, have your body look better? You know what? That stuff is all going to burn. Focus on loving people. Focus on loving others. You don't know how to do that? You don't want to do that? Ask the Holy Spirit to convict you. Pray for love, and guess what will happen? He'll begin to put you in circumstances where you'll get that phone call. And then guess what? That's where you have to stop praying and you have to start obeying. Man, that was for somebody right there. You have to stop praying and you have to start obeying. There comes a time and a place where that prayer has to turn into obedience. What do I mean by that? Well, if somebody actually needs you, you actually go and help them. If somebody needs you to go and pay for their meal, then you actually pay for it. Yes, money, time, yes. God will eventually ask you for physical things. Money, time, energy, things that you don't want to do. And guess what? It's not going to be only when you want it to. It's not going to be convenient. And if you say no the first, second, third time, he'll ask you four or five times, but eventually he'll stop asking you until you're ready to listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to him today. What is he asking you to do? And sometimes it's not some revelation from heaven. Sometimes it's people that will say, hey man, why aren't you doing more around here? Maybe it's your boss that's saying, you know, why don't you shape up? You might not even like that exhortation from that boss because they're not Christians, or maybe even from your family members, your mom, your friends, your coworkers, but don't disregard that voice. It could be the voice of God. My prayer for you today is that you will know that God is faithful. Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android.
Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.